A blonde and a brunette walk into a bar, a room, to talk about Jesus, exploring God's word, tackling the topics no one likes talking about, and discussing biblical truths, dodging bad theology on the way. This is Her Theology. Welcome back to another episode. You're here with Kirst and
Cassie.
Hello. Lovely to be with you today, Cassie. And you all that are listening. Excellent. I'm glad we've got the pleasantries out of the way.
Do you know, I was listening to like different podcasts while we're having a bit of a break. Well, I listen to different podcasts all the time. But my, they just like intro really well and confidently. Like last time I recorded, you forgot your name.
Yeah, I was like.
Other times I'm like, where am I? What am I doing?
This is just the season of life we're in and that's fine.
Yeah.
So we are continuing today along in our journey of the seven deadly sins. Mm. And today, Cassie, you are going to talk to us about slothfulness.
Yes.
Not being an animal sloth, that's not what it is.
No.
So I'm interested to find out what we're talking about today. But before we get into it.
What's something new?
What is something new you've learned?
I didn't know this, but in 2016, ESV changed Genesis 3:16 translation from, so previously it said, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And sorry, that was the new one. So okay. Previously though, it says your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over
you. So the and the but.
So the for your husband has changed to contrary to your husband.
Oh.
And has changed to but he shall rule over you.
Interesting.
Yes. Anyway, so I'll flick it in the episode links if you want to like look up information. Oh, you could just Google it. I just thought it was really interesting because I'm like, oh, no one ever told me that. But if you have an ESV Bible from prior to 2016, it's going to say one thing.
Mm.
And actually it has quite a lot of changes. It does. Yeah. Anyway, it's worth looking into.
That is, yeah, I guess as they keep working out translation. Yeah, things are going to change.
I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. I've actually also got something, a Christian little thing, thought. Okay, so back in, I think it was around the 1700s.
Yep.
Don't quote me on this. Somebody talked to me about it and I was learning from them, so it's not my fault if I get it wrong.
What's their name, just so we can hold them accountable?
The Presbyterian Church was working out the I think it's the Presbyterian Church was working out the Westminster Catechism.
Yep.
And they actually, before they released it, they actually sent it to Parliament.
Oh.
But I guess it had to some, because I don't know, maybe because church and state were closely linked back then. Anyway, the cool thing about it is, though, is that the Parliament actually sent it back to the Presbyterian Church and said, we want biblical evidence for all of these things.
Ah,
how cool is that?
That's really cool.
Wouldn't probably happen today, but
yeah,
no. Back in the 1700s, things are different. So there you go.
That's awesome.
Mm.
Love that. Cool.
Cool.
Well, there you go. That was some really good new stuff that's actually beneficial to the Christian faith. So today we're going to dive in and talk about sloth. It's interesting because we've said this a few times, we've divided up the seven deadly sins. This is something that I can really see God's been working in my life a lot. Mm. It's definitely come at a right time because having three has made me more productive and more organized and I guess less excuse for being lazy than I ever have before in my life. So it's good timing. So why is slothfulness a sin or laziness? So I've got two babies in the background, so you might hear a bit of squawking. Well, if we look back in Genesis, we were made to work right from the beginning. So all throughout Scripture, we can see the works of God. He's active. He's not lazy. And so we can see God working in his people at all times and working for his purposes and plans. So whether this be like physically, spiritually, or mentally, and I think a lot of people sometimes think of sloth and they just think it's a physical thing, but actually we can be spiritually slothful as well. And part of that can also affect our mental health and being lazy or slothful in the way that we deal with pain and trauma and mental health issues. So we always need to be like really alert and aware, ready to finish the work set ahead of us by God. And I think it's also remembering that God has actually called us and purposed us for his plans and to further his kingdom. And so sloth, being slothful, kind of is a detriment to that. And it means we're going to miss out on seeing amazing opportunities in our own life, and fruit as well in the lives of those around us. So I'm just going to pick up my son.
Do you want me to pass him to you while you keep going?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, ultimately I was trying to think about like what is the core issue or problem with being slothful. And I was like, ultimately it comes down to pride, right? Like we want to be selfish and we want to like prioritize what we want in life and we want to be comfortable, and often it comes at the expense of others, or maybe it comes at the expense of, like I said, furthering God's kingdom and doing his plans. So being productive generally costs us something. Like it costs us time or effort or energy. Mm. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, Christ gave us all his time, gave us all his effort, gave us all his energy. He gave us everything. And so like slothfulness, when we see that sin really apparent in our lives, it kind of like laughs in the face of what Christ did for us. He was very productive. He had 3 short years of ministry, you know, and did an awful lot. He didn't stop, you know.
Yeah.
He definitely had times of rest and restoration in God, but like in the Father, but he was very productive, you know. And so I was just thinking about that. I'm like, well, why is it such an issue, other than the main thing of like, well, you know, it can lead you into being overwhelmed with life, or it can lead you into physical problems. I think ultimately what it comes down to is it doesn't glorify God, but it kind of just makes us the center point of all our thoughts.
This is how I feel, so I'll do this.
Yeah.
Which, can I just say, from a pastor's wife perspective, if we're talking about, I don't know if this is where you're going to go with this.
No.
Sorry.
Fine.
Like being involved in being committed and serving at your church is just so important.
Yeah.
Because
you guys had to pick up the slack otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we want our pastors to be able to focus on preaching
and do their job. Yeah.
And that part of their job, which is, you know, the main part of their job, and do that well, then like we've got to work together. And our church always talks about how we're not a cruise ship.
You don't just come
to church and you just sit back and get served, you know, your cocktails or whatever. We're actually on a lifeboat where everybody has a job. And if you don't do your job, people don't get saved.
Yeah, 100%.
Sounds dodgy theologically, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone needs to participate. Yeah. And that's exactly right. Like, and that's where I do want to cover, actually, we'll go straight into it. Like, I often, when I first started looking into this, I was thinking of like slothfulness as in physical, as in being involved. But I think what you're talking about crosses over both, which is the spirit, being spiritually slothful, and then also physically, like how that plays out physically, as in being involved.
Yeah.
So Romans 12:9-13. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is God, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saint, and seek to show hospitality. So you can see there, like even just reading that is a lot of effort for my brain right now, but like let love be genuine. That takes work. That means you have to choose to be genuine in a moment, and choose love. We need to hold fast to what is good. We need to love one another with brotherly affection. That means doing physical things for one another, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in the spirit, serve the Lord. How do you be zealous for the Lord? It's by actively learning, knowing more about God and being in community with other believers. Like, those are things that contribute to our zeal for God. Yes, the Holy Spirit places that in our heart, but we need to
be
do the work.
Participants.
Yeah. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. It's about being what's the word, structured and routine, so that you can create behaviors and patterns in your life that will last a long period of time. And contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This is what it looks like to not be slothful in your faith walk. So that's Romans 12, 9 to 13. And then I was reading the parable of the talents.
Oh, yeah.
So Matthew 25, 14 to 30. So I'll just read it out. For it will be like a man on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and had his hid his master's money. Now after a long time the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I have made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the talents, two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents here. I have made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine, my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's a lot in this parable. There's a lot. Mm. But I do think ultimately what we're seeing here is that God has given us purpose and plans in our lives. Like, he knows what they are, but he has called us to spread the gospel. Mm. He has called us to be in community. He has called us to learn more about him and his character and his goodness. And so what are we doing with what he's given us?
Mm.
And when we fall into this habitual sin of slothfulness, which I think in some seasons can be really apparent, we can see that it's gonna steal those moments of being on mission.
Mm.
And it takes away our purpose.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. I can see that. It just takes away our purpose and plans. Yeah. So,
and also, like, when I think about slothfulness, you know what immediately comes to mind? That song, Bruno Mars, it might be by, you know, the song Lazy?
No.
Is that by Bruno Mars?
I don't even know that.
I wake up in the morning.
Feeling like P. Diddy?
No. With a big smile on my face and it never feels out of place.
Oh, that's definitely not Bruno Mars. That's isn't that like a punk rock band from the 90s?
No,
2000s?
No, it's not that. It's not that old. But it's like, no, that's not the song I'm thinking of. Hold on. How does the song Lazy go?
You're not talking about the Lego Movie song.
No. It's the song. It's a song about how, I don't feel like going to work today, so I'm not going to. And
okay, yep.
You know, I'm just going to stay at home and
do whatever I want.
Do whatever I want. And I'm going to have sex because I feel like it.
And I can.
And it's really just this
self.
Totally self-centered.
Self.
And, yeah, Oh, I wish I could remember the words.
We'll look it up and we'll link it in the episode notes. Oh, yeah, can you look it up and play a little bit?
Oh, I can try it.
Yep. Oh. Well, that kind of leads us to the physical outworking, which I was going to talk about. So, you know, being slothful affects our spiritual faith, our spiritual walk, but it also affects our physical day-to-day lives. And it also affects our relational, but I'll move on to the physical. Don't feel like picking up the phone.
Anyway, look it up. Look up the lyrics, because it's all about just, you know, this is how I feel today. And this is what our culture celebrates, that if we can make enough money by doing the least work possible to be
then that's a win, hey?
Rich, so that we can just do whatever we want. Which is exactly, like, it's not, like you said at the start, God created us
to work.
To work, and work was before the fall.
Yes, that's a massive point. Yes.
Like, it's actually for our good that we work.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Sorry, I'm throwing Kirst off because I have a boob straight out and trying to breastfeed.
Look, we got two very restless babies here right now, so.
But we are going to make it work. We're not going to be slothful and sit on the couch. Yeah, so and it's so true, because, and don't get me wrong, and I'm going to I'll go straight into this. So I think a massive thing that we probably don't acknowledge is that when slothfulness is like become a pattern in our life, you know, whether it be sleeping in or ignoring work or ignoring tasks, constantly being late to something because you've just been lazy, It can lead to mental health issues.
Mm.
So especially if you're already prone to, say, depression. Well, if you're letting this sin, because we often can use our mental health as an excuse, but like often it's sin that's leading us down that track towards mental health concerns. Mm. So I'm not saying this is a blanket statement.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying it is worth checking in and going, where am I at? Am I letting things overwhelm me?
Yeah.
Am I ignoring tasks? Then they're becoming too much. So then that's leading to me going down the line of depression again, or anxiety or stress, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And same can go, say, for like gluttony, right? Mm. So like Titus 1:12, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Christians are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons," which is a load of crap. But it was just interesting that I'm like, you can see where laziness and food definitely do go hand in hand. And like we talked about the sin of gluttony before in one of our prior episodes, but I personally can testify that when I'm being lazy or I'm not being organized enough or whatever, that's when I eat poorly. That's when I don't look after myself.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, again, this is a blanket statement, but just for me personally, when I'm looking after myself physically, I notice it does affect all my other areas of life.
Mm.
That's just me.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
Proverbs 31:27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Idleness is like just standing around doing nothing. And I think it's really interesting because later on in Timothy as well, Paul talks about how the young women should be married, otherwise they become like idle and gossipers and slanderers and stuff like that. And you can see this in Proverbs as well. Like we need to be managing our households. And that a lot of women might be going, "Oh, well, I don't have kids yet, or I'm not married yet." I'm like, no. This goes for anyone, any season. We need to be managing our households. And when I say households, it means our whole life. Like not just what our house looks like, getting on top of washing or dishwashers or whatever. Washing dishes.
Who has multiple dishwashers? I mean, probably people do. But anyway.
But it means we need to be like on top of everything in our life as Christian women, because people are going to look at us and go, "She's got it together." That's actually a good representation of someone that has purpose and meaning and planning. And like I said again, there's seasons where life is crazy. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. Listen to our toxic mummy culture episode.
Mm.
That is the last thing we're saying.
Mm.
We need to be vulnerable when we're struggling. We need to ask for help and everything. But as a general thing, we don't want to be a red hot mess all the time, because that actually doesn't glorify God.
Mm. And when when we're the ones who are the reason why we're a red hot mess, because we've acted inefficiently you know, and not had a plan or which will lead to being slothful because we're actually not being when you're – what's the word?
productive.
Not productive, like intentional.
Yes, be intentional. Yes. Yeah. And that's right. It's coming back to being intentional in the heart and the mind. Mm. Like, and I think it also comes back to if you want to battle slothfulness, like praying and asking the Holy Spirit, how do I spend my time wisely?
Mm.
You know, help me. Like, how do I grow in this area?
Because it's not like about spending your time sleeping. I mean, I'm sure that is part of it, but it's more like, yeah, using your time wisely. Like, if you're spending 1,000 hours a day on looking at social media, and not putting your hand up to do stuff at church, or not being, you know, actually
impacting your local community or something,
or prepping for ministries that you should be spending time. Yes. Like, that's not a wise use of time.
No. And then you can see, okay, if you keep on doing that, then what happens? We go, oh, it's all too much. It's overwhelming me. Mm. So then I'm becoming stressed. So then obviously it affects all the relationships in my life, right? Because then my friends, my family get affected by my attitude and my my change of character, I guess, in the middle of all that. So that's what I'm saying when I was like saying, if you're starting to go down the slope of like stress, anxiety, depression, whatever it may be.
Just pull it.
Potentially looking back a bit and go, well, is it because I've been avoiding something? And so this is where it kind of brings it into relational aspect of slothfulness for me, because, and I guess I was like, should I put mentality? It's like being slothful in our mentality towards things. I don't know if that's a thing or not, but when we're slothful and things are overwhelming us and we're not being intentional with our time, like you were saying, not being wise with our time, letting that social media addiction take over and prevent us from doing our tasks or whatever.
Mm.
What happens then is we become we're actually probably likely avoiding something in our life, which is slothfulness. Like, is there a pain or a hurt or a trauma? Is there a stressor? Is there anger? Is there something going on in our life that we're actually avoiding? Because that's a form of slothfulness as well, right? Yeah.
What's that thing where you like – escapism.
Yes.
You're using something else to escape something else.
Yes.
But really, to be most productive, you just need to deal with the first thing in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. And that takes hard work.
Mm.
Sometimes it's emotionally draining.
Yeah.
Sometimes it means changing relationships. Maybe it means having hard conversations. Whatever that work looks like, let's not be slothful in that, because we can actually see that then affects all other areas, you know. It affects our productivity, our purposes, but it also affects our relationships. Mm. So hang on, I need to scroll. Hang on 2 seconds.
Oh, if only we had 3 hours.
So I just want to kind of wrap up with these two little sections of scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3:6-12. Now I command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you've received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. And this is another aspect where slothfulness really affects our relationship, because often we become a burden to others. We either become intolerable to others, or we just become a burden. Like you said, society now kind of says you want to get the most output for the littlest work. And that is actually contrary to what the Bible says here. It's like, no, work. If you want to eat, go work for it. And that's like, obviously, this is, you've got to read it in context. There's also times where people are going to go through a hard season, and as a church, we need to carry each other's burdens. But they're saying here, intentionally, people that don't want to do the hard work, that have a poor attitude, that's what they're addressing
here. Yes, yeah.
And I think for us leaving it on an aspect for women, 1 Timothy 5:11-14, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossipers and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. Scary how much idleness is directed. So it's scary. I just went to my own notes. It's scary how much like idleness is kind of directed at women, because in Proverbs it said it as well, don't let the women become idle, and to look after their households. And I'm like, I just think, I know he's talking directly to younger widows and women being married and everything like that. So I don't want to take it out of context, but I do think there's a lesson here, or maybe a warning for women just in general, to be like, we can fall prone to being gossipers and busybodies, which does not glorify God. And there's something about being productive with our time that prevents that sin from growing in our lives. So without reading into that scripture, there is something in that, I think, to learn from. So I just really quickly, what some ways that we can kind of overcome it? Obviously, first and foremost, always is like eyes on Jesus and remembering what he's done for us. He was productive with his time. And we don't say that in a guilt and shame way, but like actually look, he was a hard worker and he gave all his time and energy for us. So when we can keep on focusing on him and learning more about his character and goodness, I think that does spur us on to good works just naturally. Praying, obviously, asking the Holy Spirit to like give you wisdom on how to spend your time and what to be doing with your resources. And destroy the idol. I think slothfulness can really be a good indicator of what our idols are in our life. And I mean this by saying, what are we running to instead of doing the work ahead of us? Because often if we're running, say, to social media, or we're running to TV, we're running to the beach, we're running to, I don't know, whatever it may be, that's preventing you from doing the work ahead of you. Well, maybe it's time to assess that. Is that actually an idol in a life that I need to get rid of? It may not be, but like, is it? I find often it is for me. Or it's highlighting an area where I need to work on. So again, like we were saying, am I becoming avoidant or escaping because actually I don't want to do the hard work of reconciliation with my sister at church? Do you know what I mean? So again, we're being slothful in our mentality towards a command from God, which is reconciliation, for example. And accountability and community. This is why it's so important. Like, go find someone that doesn't struggle with this, maybe. Go find someone that is really productive, that maybe it's a woman in your life. They might be older, younger, whatever, whatever season they're in. They may be really, you look at them, you're like, they just, yeah, they have periods of time where it's tough, but they just seem overall to have it together. Have a chat with them. What do they do that puts good patterns and behaviors in place?
And it might be like you're in a really difficult season yourself, like, I don't know, whatever that might look like, young kids, how do I be productive in that? But that is a question well worth asking, because we don't just have kids and then
wing it.
Be intentional about the season that you're in and ask how other people do it. Ask for help. How can I be productive for the gospel? In my kids' life, in my life. You know, it may not look like, you know,
that person.
It may, it may look different to somebody else, but work it out for the season that you're in.
And that's where you want to be careful. Like, we're not saying, you've got to be careful that you don't now, after listening to this podcast, go, oh my gosh, I'm so not like cursed. I don't have it all together like cursed. This isn't about comparison.
Curse doesn't have it all together.
I know. but it's not about comparing ourselves. It's about actually learning and being humble enough to say, I need help. You know, how do I get out of this rut? What are some of the things that work for you? They might work for me. They might not, but it's worth a try. And actually being active in seeing a change in that. And so for me, like, practically, that actually looked like meal planning, like, was a huge thing. I introduced that now that I've got three kids, I meal plan, and it makes such a difference to my productivity, because I'm not I know it sounds so stupid, but it's something so little that I makes such a big difference. I am 100%
on board with that.
Yeah. And so,
I love meal planning. Yeah. I think it does make a huge difference to your week and I think it does make you more time productive.
Yes. And then also
– takes stress out as well.
I follow this girl, Clean Mama, on Instagram, and so she kind of had this like – on Mondays we dust, on Tuesdays we clean our bathrooms, on this day we do this. And I've started implementing some of those things and I feel like I've got, I don't know how something, a small change like that has given me so much more time and my housework is not on top of me anymore. It's unbelievable. And you've got time for other stuff. And I don't feel guilty. Like, so if there is a bit of a mess or say the bathroom's not perfect, I'm like, I know on Tuesday I'm going to clean that. I don't need to stress about that right now. Mm. Like I just... I don't know. It's really helped me in my slothfulness, because I'll be really honest with you, slothfulness is something I really struggled with for a long time. Mm. I know I've hated it, and it's since having three kids, and I've learned a lot from Kirst. I've learned a lot from my friend Ash. I've learned a lot from like a few other people and my mum as well. I'm like, okay, actually sometimes the best advice I can give you is like Nike would say, just do it. Because preventing it, you're making it a bigger thing than what it is. Yeah. Like often we, in our head, we avoid it. I'm like, it's just, you're just making it a mountain out of a molehill. Yep. So
totally.
Anyway, that's it.
Cool. Lots to think about there.
Yeah, not sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Because I think people hear that sin and they think, oh, I don't struggle with that. Or maybe, I don't know. And but then when you think through it a bit deeper, it's not something that we often talk about.
No.
Being lazy.
No, no. But well, I don't think I've ever really heard a sermon on it, to be honest.
Yeah, but it is in the Bible. And
it's actually a lot in the Bible.
Yeah. So maybe go and do a bit of a word search yourself and have a read of different passages in context and, you know, look further into it. If you think it might be something that you are struggling with but you haven't realised it or whatever. Cool. Well, thanks, Cass. We are... on Instagram and Facebook, so follow along if you don't already, so that you're knowing when all the episodes come out and that kind of thing. And shout out to our 15 girls who are reading the Bible in over American summer for the next 90 days. We're on day two, so if you're someone who wants to be on that journey with us, we'll keep, you know, putting up the link so that you can join in.
Or just send us a message and we'll send you the link to join us on your version.
Yes. Yeah. So that we can just...
for accountability.
Yeah. So that we can be productive and be spending our time on things that matter by reading the Bible together. So awesome. Well, we will chat to you soon.
Okay. Bye.